Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, and welcome to the Honoring Hour. Gotta love technology, the music playing over and over. My name is Lynn, and we're actually doing a special broadcast tonight. Before I get into what that's all about, just want to go ahead and take the opportunity to remind you that February 9th, we're going to be having Susie Ward on. Susie had the misfortune to lose her 17-year-old son many years ago and is able to communicate with him, and he talks to her about heaven and various other things. I've invited you all to help me pick a topic. Visit her website at www.matthewbooks.com and see the type of topics that she has to talk about. It's under Matthew's Messages, and let me know what you guys want to hear about. Susie's open to having you guys be a part of that. And then, again, in February, it is on the 23rd, we're going to have Susie Scalora on here talking with us about her new book, Evidence of Angels. You can find out more about that at www.myth.com. For any of our guests and for our archives, you can visit the main website of The Honoring Hour, which is www.thehonoringhour.com. Now, tonight I have two members of VICFA, which is the Virginia Independent Consumers and Farmers Association, and they have some really important news to tell those of us in Virginia, but it's going to apply to everyone, because while this is just what's happening in Virginia, there's probably something similar happening in every state within the United States, and I'm sure that if you are able to listen to this, you might want to find out what's happening in your own country as well and become involved and, you know, just start to take responsibility for the food that you're putting in your body. I'd like to welcome to the show tonight Susie Crows and Lois Smith. How are you ladies doing?
Great.
Fine this evening, thank you.
Wonderful. So, you know, Susie, you had said that you could tell us a little bit about VICFA. Can we start off just knowing what is VICFA?
Yes. VICFA is an organization that is comprised of regular citizens. It's a non-for-profit organization that kind of formed, you know, members just got together and decided that they would like to have some changes in the legislation in the state of Virginia to open up farm-to-consumer direct sales. It's not funded by any government, and it's all on a volunteer basis that is supported by the members and membership and donations themselves. We work to lobby and bring different regulations under the state law now that prohibit direct farmer-to-consumer sales, and we would like to see the markets open up quite a bit more.
Okay. Now, we're not taking calls from, you know, from the general public. And the reason we're not doing that tonight is because this is for information only. We are going to let you guys listen to this, get it out to your friends and families. And then Thursday night, this coming Thursday, which is the 28th at 7 o'clock Eastern time, we're going to do another show where you guys can call in and ask these ladies questions and find out more. But we want you to do your own homework a little bit up front. I am going to ask you, Susie, if you don't mind, to clarify, what do you mean by direct sales?
Well, many of us are familiar with the farmer's market scenario where we go out to the farmer's market and we're able to purchase, you know, fruits and vegetables that are in season, perhaps. That's a good example. But there are some restrictions on some of the choices that we may be able to make at a farmer's market or from purchasing directly from the farmer right off the property. What's nice about that for the consumer is the consumer has an opportunity to more variety. I think it's a bit of a biosecurity in there that we're able to know exactly where our food's coming from. We're dealing directly with the person that is producing it. And so you have this opportunity for a further development of relationship between the two parties. We would like you to be able to come out to the farm and purchase your meat and to purchase your vegetables and to purchase your goods out there. And it is also a way of providing the farmer with a way of farming and being able to stay on the farm.
Okay. So this is really a grassroots organization that's out there standing up for not only the farmers, but the consumers, so that they can buy natural, whole, local product. Is that correct?
Yes.
Wonderful. Great. And Lois, can you tell us more about this bill and why it's so important that people get involved with this bill?
Well, what this bill is, it's HB 60, and we call it the Pickle Bill. In 2008, we helped pass we introduced the bill called the Kitchen Bill, and it gave us the right to make jams, jellies, and baked goods in our kitchens without the government initially inspecting our kitchens. And the Pickle Bill will add pickles, salsas, and relishes to that. And it's a lot of people don't realize that their rights have been taken away, that for me to be able to sell a product such as jams or jellies or pickles, I would had to have the government come and inspect my kitchen and my house, because it includes your bathroom and everything else, and give you the stamp of approval, which would be a cost to you. And I find that a lot of people have a hard time getting that inspection approved. I talked to a lady down in Spotsylvania Farmers Market where I live, where when she found out we made the kitchen bill, she was very excited because she has been trying to get her kitchen approved to make dog biscuits, and she found it to be $70 here. The cost, you know, it was just a nickel and dime in her. So it gets to a point where you cannot afford to just have a little home-based business. So the Kitchen Bill and the Pickle Bill, we passed the jams and jellies. And the jams and jellies, there's been no incidents of anybody getting sick, like they claim would happen. And the pickles and sauces and relishes, all the scientific evidence out there shows that they are very safe foods. And the fact that we can make pickles and sauces and give them to our friends and neighbors, but the moment we sell them, they become poisonous and dangerous to eat. So we would like for people to be able to stand up for your rights, especially in these hard economic times, where if I grew a cucumber patch and I wanted to make pickles, that I could sell them to my friends and neighbors and at farmers markets and subsidize my income.
Okay. So let me just make sure I'm understanding this correctly. As it stands right now, my neighbor who gave me a wonderful jar of homemade pickles, and I have enjoyed very much, by the way, my entire family has, could not turn around and sell those pickles today because they might make somebody sick?
Yes.
That's what is the pretense of the government at this point.
Yes.
Okay. So I love the farmer's market. I'm a huge farmer's market shopper, and I love to find those little stands on the side of the road where people are selling stuff. I've never, ever bought something that has been homemade from a farmer's market that didn't come with a card that had a phone number and an address of the person who made it, or it was on the jar. So I could actually contact those people directly, but I've been fortunate, knock on wood, that not myself nor my family has ever gotten sick from some of this meat or product that's been recalled in a grocery store. But I don't know how to contact those people, and even if I did, I couldn't probably get a responsible party on the phone. So we're not allowed to buy from somebody we can meet and contact if we get sick, but we can buy from somebody that's just an abstract concept out there.
Right, and that's our problem. We're not about forcing people to buy from their neighbor. It's a choice that we make, and it's an educated decision. Susie and I, we really met because of our interest in keeping our families healthy, and our paths just kept crossing because we wanted fresh milk, we wanted the best foods possible. We didn't want processed foods, And it really started to become a full-time job to be able to provide that for our family. And we didn't realize why for years until we started realizing that the government has overregulated everybody, that as consumers we were not able to purchase these foods.
Right. I have the same problem. I understand that. So why is it so hard? I mean, I don't understand. As a consumer, I don't know why I couldn't go up and ask my neighbor if I could buy. Now, she was gracious enough to give me a jar of pickles, but I'm fully aware that that's hard work. So if I wanted to compensate her, I mean, of course, you know, privately I'm sure that I could, although I don't know that she would take it, but if she had an abundance and wanted to share, she couldn't go out and sell that, but these big corporations can just turn out product after product after product, and everybody has a right to buy from where they want to buy.
Okay.
But it seems like unless this bill passes, not everybody really does have a right to buy from where they want to buy, because the little people that make all this wonderful stuff that doesn't have all the preservatives in it, you know, they've got those good old-fashioned recipes that are really good old-fashioned recipes, and they're delicious tasting. We really don't have a right to buy from them if they are not government approved.
Yes. I think the thing that really bothered me, and it's a term that I've heard somebody say that I like to use, it's corporate feudalism. When we were at yesterday, when me and Susie were down at the subcommittee, the agriculture subcommittee, and the opposition is always agribusiness, and the food safety lady basically got up and said that she didn't think that people would get sick making pickles in rural areas. They probably did a good job, and people in Charlottesville. But what if the Vietnamese, Africans, and Latinos wanted to start making pickles in their home? And, you know, that just really cut me to the quick. It makes me want to cry when I think about it, because really what they're saying is, what if the Mexicans and the Africans and the Vietnamese have the right to make their own pickles and not work in my processing plant? So, I mean, that statement, she said it and we all heard it and we were all offended, but it was said. You know, what if people had the right to make pickles and sell them to their friends because they do a good job? So this is
someone in a position of power that made such a prejudiced remark?
Yes. Yeah, yes. It was very off.
And this is the kind of stuff, and this is why I know when I talked with Susie earlier and we talked about this, this is the kind of stuff that is going on when people, you know, in the subcommittees. And am I understanding correctly that the subcommittee really didn't even have to, they don't have to vote on it. It can just kind of die there, and they don't have to say yes or no. It can just kind of be swept under the rug.
Mm. Well, yes, they do not have to make a motion to accept or not accept this bill. And the new thing is the subcommittee votes are registered. That means once they vote on it, their vote is registered and their constituents see how they vote. But if they never make a motion because it's controversy and they just let it die on the table there, their votes are never registered. And that's what they did. So we are hoping tomorrow morning at 8:30 to be back down at the General Assembly to try to get a couple of supporters from the full committee, the full Ag Committee, to pull that bill out and let it go for a vote on the floor. So we're hopeful for that. If anything else, the only thing I want at this point is for them to have to register a vote, so the constituents can be aware of where they stand and are they working for us or are they working for Big Ag?
Right. Well, I don't know about everyone else, but I would think the expectation of the average voter would be that if someone's in a position where they are representing us, that they do take a stand on things, that they're not just not, you know, voting one way or the other. That's not what I'd like to see happen, you know, to people that I help put in a position of that authority. So this is why it's so important for people to really understand what happens at these lower levels before things get, I mean, it starts at the bottom and works its way up.
Yes.
The only thing we have as a grassroots organization is public opinion on our side, which means numbers.
Mm-hmm.
We cannot fight big agro business with money. So really what it takes is having warm bodies down at the General Assembly. And I know everybody's busy. And tomorrow it's not a big deal for people to be down there, but if we do get it pulled back to a vote, that's when we're going to need people to show up at the General Assembly and say, we want the right to buy pickles and relishes and sauces from anybody that we want to.
As well as phone calls to your representative. Constituents have big pull when a representative is on the Ag Agricultural Committee and their constituents are, you know, making multiple phone calls. That really counts with the delegates.
Okay. Can you guys tell, is there a website or a place where they can go to read more about this, learn more about it? And, you know, some people don't even know how to get in touch with their, you know, with their representative. You know, where can they go to find this stuff out? Is that on the VCFA website?
There's a little bit on the VCFA website. It was about our breakfast on there. We have a VCFA phone number, which is 804-366-6051, if they want to be put on an action alert list. So if anything comes through that they want to be kept aware of, we can email that over to them. So if no one answers, they can always just leave their name and their email address, and we put them on the action alert so we can keep them updated to different bills and legislation that's happening that will affect their food freedoms.
Does VCFA have a website?
Yes, it's www.vicfa, that's V-I-C-F-A .org.
Okay, so V-I-C-F-A .org.
Yes.
And they can go on there and find out. And then, obviously, VCFA is always excited to have members, I would think, being a grassroots organization, the more the merrier. Is there a way that they can sign up through the website also?
Yes.
Okay. Wonderful.
Yes, there is.
Okay. You know, what I've never been. I know that I got invited to go the other day down with Susie and was unable to do so and was very sorry that I was unable to do so. But can you tell us, you know, what's it look like when you go down there? What kind of typically happens? What would be expected if somebody showed up at one of these meetings?
Well, what we do is we usually have talking points, and that basically tells our position on if we're doing the pickle bill. And every year we do a legislation breakfast, and we feed all the secretaries and all. We invite the aides, and they come usually. It's rare that we do get delegates, but they are invited to our breakfast, and we feed them the best foods available in Virginia. And then when we go there, we just ask to talk to the delegate, and they're usually in session or something like that, so we'll get an aide, which is important. But the secretaries are very helpful. They tasted our foods. They talk to us for a long time about their desires to get good foods. And so we just go over there. We shake the aides' hands. We let them know, you know, who we are and why we're here. And if it's a bill that we want supported, we ask them to support it and tell them the reasons why we want it supported. So it's once you get down here, sometimes it can be intimidating. But if you just work through that, you start to realize that these are just people too. And everybody that we talk to, I think that's what was so disappointing about the bill stopping, is they all wanted this bill to go through. And that was very disheartening to see that agribusiness had that much power to stop this from going through.
What do you mean when you say agribusiness?
Well, agribusiness has a lobbyist. And to be a part of agribusiness, it seems that if you were Smithfield, you paid a certain amount of money for membership. So because you make a lot of money, you pay thousands of dollars. If you're just a little pig farmer who has 10 pigs and you want to be part of this because you want to sell your pigs and farm, you might pay $75. And agribusiness watches out after you and makes sure things aren't going to affect you, your ability to make, to stay in the system, in the corporate system. So that's what agribusiness lobbyists are. They're paid lobbyists to come down there when bills that might affect the way our food system is set up, something might affect that, and they would not want that bill to come through.
Okay. And a good introduction to some of the food stuff that's going on in our country is a movie called Food, Inc. Is that correct?
Yes.
Okay, so if you guys haven't seen it or some of this is sounding like a little strange, Food, Inc. is a movie that's out there that you can get, you know, share it with your friends and family. I know it was actually in theaters, you know, small theaters there for a while to get people. But I watched it and was really disturbed. It's very disturbing to see how the whole thing goes and, you know, just to see that the people that stood up and spoke in the movie and what they had to give up and risk because they spoke out. And I will say that, you know, this was a very spontaneous and last-minute show that we put together. I did not invite anyone from any other opinion on here. I personally believe that, you know, these larger organizations get plenty of airtime. They have every right, you know, every opportunity to voice their opinion. And, you know, I have a very near and dear to my heart reason that I want to be able to eat good, whole, fresh, organic foods. And I think that everybody should have a right to do that. And, you know, personally, my personal experience is, you know, the people that grow their own food and make their own food and do their own canning, they have a wonderful product. And they're eating it themselves. So obviously they're not going to make themselves sick. And I think that they need to be out here and represented also. So I just wanted to put out that we haven't invited anyone other than Susie and Lois today to come here and talk, in all fairness. And the reason is because I feel like these other organizations have more than enough opportunity, and I've never heard VCFA on any major prime time slot in, you know, in the news or anywhere else. So we wanted to give them an opportunity to speak. We only have a couple more minutes. Is there anything else that you want the listeners to know?
Well, I think when I think about food freedom and this issue, I think it's very important to know that there is, if you're not in the state of Virginia, that there may be an organization like this that is working on this little level to try to make changes within your own state. And especially if you're like Lois and I, where we were really looking for good products, to seek that out so that, you know, we get together in numbers and we can actually make a difference.
And I would like to say that I think having unrestricted, unregulated food choice is what always needs to be there to have true food freedom. You don't have to choose unregulated foods,
right?
But it should always be a choice.
Right, absolutely. I agree. It's up to us. You know, we're, you know, most of the people that shop are adults. I mean, I know that, you know, sometimes a kid might go to a grocery store, but for the most part, we're adults. We should be able to make a choice of what we put on our own table. Good, bad, or indifferent, it's completely up to us as long as we're not harming anyone else. And, yeah, I mean, why do other people have to make that decision for us? I agree with that 100%. 100%. So I just want to remind everybody that in two nights, on Thursday night, January 28th at 7 o'clock, we're going to give you an opportunity to call in and ask questions. Or even, you know, offer an experience of your own. We were really trying to get people involved in this so that they understand it a little bit more. I'm not a member of VCFA. I, you know, get things that get passed on to me through, you know, Susie, who's great, gracious enough to pass it on. You can become a member of VICFA at www.vicfa.org, and it's the Virginia Independent Consumers and Farmers Association. So please do check it out. If you want to go down to Richmond and be a member at one of these meetings, my guess is, ladies, that it would be announced on the website. Is that kind of stuff put on the website when you're going down?
Yes, and all our phone numbers, all board members' phone numbers are on the website, so feel free to call any of us.
Right, and you can also call me as well if anyone, you know, needs to get a shout of directions or something. It will be at the General Assembly Building in Richmond.
Okay. And, Susie, you're a chapter leader, and your phone number is 540-582-3219?
Yes, a chapter leader of Weston Price. Lois is as well.
Oh, okay. Okay, I'm sorry. I thought that's right. I was thinking chapter leader of VICFA, but that's just me learning the ropes here.
We'd like to have chapters. That would be lovely.
So again, you know, this is about your health. This is about you. You know, this is government at the state level. I'm sure every state has something going on pertaining to this. I'd be very surprised if a state did not. And every state may have their own little quirk to it or own little issue that's a little bit different. But if you look around and you do a little bit of research, it probably wouldn't take a whole lot. You're going to find something at your own level. The best thing to do, one of the easiest things to do, is just maybe go down to a local farmer's market and start asking. And you'll be surprised at what you find and who you run into. I know, Susie, you said that VICFA's down at the state fair.
Yes. Absolutely. Every year for, Lois, how many years have we been down there now?
I think five.
Yeah,
it doesn't count.
Right. And we just try to educate the public as they come in. Many people really are just so unaware at what has been regulated out of their food choices, you know, what in their diet they can no longer get. It's become commonplace. And we just have accepted the status quo. Many of us have forgotten some foods that, oh, yeah, Granny used to make this or so-and-so used to make that, and they just don't have access to it any longer.
We call it wrapper choice, not food choice.
Right, right. And what is the saying? You don't know what you don't know until you know?
Yes.
Right. So, yeah, and then, it's really just basic, you know, and I do think that there are some people in the world that are even, you know, around my age, you know, that they're full-fledged adults that, you know, they haven't been exposed to good, whole, wholesome foods. You know, canned food was becoming very big and popular, and not canning, but, you know, this canned food and quick, fast food and stuff like that was becoming very popular when I was a kid. And so people may have grown up really not knowing, and we're a sicker nation now. And I mean, that's, you know, documented over and over and over again in the holistic world. So I encourage everyone to, you know, take a listen. This is just a quick and brief interview to this. You can find out more at www.bigfoot.org. I know that the email that got sent to me even had the review points, the things that they're going to go over. So you don't have to go down there. All you have to do is show up or make a telephone call to your representative and just let them know that you're in support of this bill, because this may be the door opening or closing on a lot of things in our future. You know, Congress and the judicial system has a way of, you know, looking at what they've done before. So let's open up as many doorways for ourselves as we possibly can. Thank you very much, ladies, for joining us today, and I am looking forward to having you ladies on Thursday.
Thanks. Yes, thanks, Lynn. Thanks so much for having us. Really appreciate the opportunity to get the word out.
You're welcome. You're welcome. You've been listening to The Honoring Hour. Thank you very much for joining us, and we hope you will join us again this coming Thursday when you guys can type in or write call in. The call-in number 347-838-8944. We're looking forward to hearing from you then. Have a good evening.